We are nearing the end of this series, Heart Connections. And I'm excited about the next series. I'm excited about the series after that, starting on October the 6th. And had just been doing some planning for the fall season and looking forward to what God is going to do. But as we draw this series to a conclusion this week and next, we've been learning about how do we connect with the hearts of those in our family. We kind of spent the first month really focusing on the parental responsibility of training, instilling biblical truth into the children that God has given to us. Then we spent 3 or 4 weeks on the theme of chastening. Part of connecting with the heart is chastening. It's not what you expect, it's what you inspect. And there's a biblical role and responsibility to that that we did our best to study from the Word of God. And then we've been talking the last week or two just about connecting. And it's so important to have connection with those that God has given to us, and particularly in our family. We're going to hone in today under that thought with this lesson on time together. Spending time together. And it doesn't matter what changes in life or how many things change or how fast they change. One thing that will never change is time. Time remains the same. In fact, there are many courses and books and things on time management. And I've studied some of that. I remember when I went to a Franklin Covey seminar in Sacramento and paid all the money and sat in the auditorium, and we learned how to manage time. And we got the Franklin Covey planners, and we got the binders, and we got the papers, and we learned all of that. And I'm thankful for it. And many of those principles I still use even today. But you know what I've learned? Time is going to march on whether you try to manage it or not. What really you have to do is manage yourself as it pertains to time. And we understand that oftentimes in life, it's a challenge to have enough time to consider all that we need to do. There was a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon, and Calvin was talking to Hobbes, and he said, you know, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. And right now, I'm so far behind, I don't think I'm ever going to die. And sometimes that's the way it feels in life, is, man, there is just so much to do. I've got so much to accomplish. I'm never going to get it all done. And that's the way it is often in family life. My goodness, marriage, family, kids, and all of that adds complexity to it for sure. But there are some things that we have to make sure are in life, and then we protect them for being in there. If you've ever seen the Covey illustration of the jar, and you have a open jar, and then you have big rocks, and then you have sand, and then you have water. And if you take that jar and you put the sand and the water in first, and then you try to fit the big rocks in, it doesn't matter how hard you work at it, they're not getting in there. But if you put the big rocks in the jar first and then pour the sand in, it kind of filters its way all around the big rocks. And then you put the water on top and it fills in any gaps that remain. And it all fits as long as the big rocks go in first. But if the big rocks don't go in first, they often don't fit in the jar. And that's the way it is in life. You have to determine, what are my big rocks? What are my priorities? What do I value? For me, that would begin with my relationship with God. So my priority when I get up in the morning is to read my Bible and pray. My priority is to go to church. In our house, we don't ask the question, should we go to church today? We just go. We even went to church on vacation because Brother Langley told us we had to. So we did. And we were there. And we went to church. Why? Because that's a priority. Susanna, my bride, is a priority. We spend time together. I delight in caring for her needs and providing for her. That's a priority. It's a gift that God has given to me. My children are a priority. Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph. And my time with them, training them, and investing in their life and future is something that I highly value. And we could go on and on, but you have to know, what are your priorities? What do you value? What is important to you? And then you have to get those in your life first. And what we're going to talk about today is right in line with that, spending time together, specifically spending time alone with every child that God has given to you every week. And this is a great discipline to add to your life or to kind of reaffirm if you're doing it already, because it produces a heart-to-heart connection, which is what this series has been all about. It gives you relational nurturing with each child on a weekly basis, and it's so very important. Why should we do this? Well, Psalms 127 verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Now stop and think about something in your life that you deem very valuable. We were at a home last night, and the gentleman was telling me about a 1967, what did he have in the garage? I think it was 1967 Camaro. He was telling me all about it, and it was in the garage, and you know, it was under a tarp, not a tarp, but a very nice plush velvet blanket, I think it was. And he was just telling me about the vehicle and its worth and how it was maintained and cared for and so on. And that's great. Some people would be into maybe a restoration of an older car. Some would be into some other possession or whatever. But just think about for a moment a possession that you highly value and then how you care for that possession. It's just something that you're going to be very careful about who uses it and how they use it and making sure it's not abused and it's cared for and it's going to last and all of that because it's something that you value. It's something that you cherish. It's something that means something to you. Well, our children are God's gift to us. They're highly valuable. They're a gift from the Lord. It's His reward. And when we treat them with the value that God intends, we will prioritize time with them. You know the old adage, how does a child spell love? T-I-M-E. It's impossible to communicate true love to a child without spending time with them. We have to make sure that we're spending time with the children that God has blessed and has given to us. And so because children are God's blessing, because we have the opportunity to care for them as God's reward, we want to make sure that we highly value time together with them. And let's talk in this very practical lesson about what this time together should include. What should it be about this weekly connection time? Well, this weekly time should be, number one, protected time in your schedule. Protected time on your calendar. In other words, it's planned. Your children know it's there, that it's going to happen. And they don't have to worry about whether or not, you know, this is going to take place. You've prioritized it. You've planned it. You've scheduled it. You protect it. It's going to happen. They can bank on it. Now, listen. In every life, emergencies happen, right? I was on a trip this week. Lydia was with me. We were on the way to the airport. We got a few miles away from the hotel. Flat tire. We're on the side of the road. It's I-5. It's rush hour traffic going into Portland, California. The youth pastor and I are on the side of the road. We are changing said flat tire with 18-wheelers going by at 55 miles an hour. And I kid you not, his foot on the other side of the white line from time to time. I really thought one of us was going to heaven from the side of the road this past Wednesday morning. It was crazy. But thankfully, we are both still alive and we made our flight. Life happens. Things that you do not anticipate or plan occur. And when that happens, life has to adjust and schedules have to adjust. And so from time to time, as you plan time together with your children or your spouse, and then life happens and you have to adjust, live by this principle. What you erase, you must replace. What you erase, you must replace. Okay? Because if you constantly are planning time for you and your child or you and your spouse to be together and it constantly gets rescheduled, canceled, it doesn't happen, it gets combined with something else, then what you're going to begin to communicate is this time doesn't even matter. You wouldn't treat work that way. You have to work to earn money. So there's a start time, there's an expectation. And you make sure that happens so that you can provide for your family. Well, you want to make sure that this is time on your calendar that is protected. It is scheduled and the kids don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and on the rare time it has to be adjusted, you're going to adjust it and make sure that it happens still, maybe just at an alternate time. You want to make sure that you're giving your word and you're keeping your word. You have to understand Boundaries are critical when it comes to productivity and priority. In other words, when you schedule time on your calendar with God, you know what? There's going to be alternative things showing up. Satan's going to fight that. It's interesting how many people can make more money on Sunday than most days of the week. Why is that? Well, I believe one of the reasons is because Satan doesn't want people to go to church. So here's an incentive. Why is it that when we schedule a date night with our spouse, it's seemingly that everything goes wrong at that moment? Because Satan's fighting that. Why is it when we schedule time with our kids to get time with them, to create a memory, to spend some time together? Why is it that that seems to always be something that's fought on the calendar? We have to really work to keep at it, because there's always going to be opposition to that. But you have to recognize, hey, I've got to guard against that. I've got to put a boundary against that, and we've got to see it through. It's easier to say no when a greater yes burns inside. Hey, I'm going to say no to whatever that obstacle is or whatever that opportunity is, because this is what I need to do. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. President Teddy Roosevelt once excused himself from a dinner of state to read bedtime stories to his children and to tuck them in. Once he left a dignitary in a discussion of Cuban reciprocity to go shooting at 4 o'clock with his boys because he had an appointment with them and he didn't want them to wait. In fact, in a journal that was read later, it said that would have been a terrible trial for them to have to wait for their dad to go shooting some guns. And so he stepped out in a very important meeting to be with him. He once declined an invitation from former President McKinley to stay at his home overnight. And this was an invitation he did not refuse, but he respectfully declined because he has promised his children that he would spend time with them the next morning and did not want to renege on his word. A reporter once asked Roosevelt's young son what he hoped to be when he grew up, anticipating that the boy would say, "The President of the United States of America." But rather he said, "I hope to be a plain man raising rabbits, just like my dad." Now, Roosevelt was successful at being a dad to his children, not just the President of the United States of America. But one of the reasons that his children look back at those years with fond memories and remember him as the father that he was is because he made them a priority. He put time with them on his schedule and he made it happen. He protected it. And I want to encourage everyone in our class, prioritize, calendarize your priorities in your life. If God is your number one priority, then is that reflective on your calendar? Are you having time with the Lord every day? Are you faithful to church? If your marriage is of high priority to you, is that reflective on your calendar? Are you getting time together as husband and wife? Are you investing in your relationship? If God's blessed you with children, are you spending time with them? And my challenge and encouragement to you this morning is find time on the calendar every week to spend with each child, just you and them, spending that time together. Protect that time. It will be immensely valuable. So what should this time be? It should be protected time that is scheduled. Secondly, it should be private time. What do I mean by that? My challenge today is to consider spending time with one child at a time. Now, how many of you in your home, there is more than one child in your home right now? Would you raise your hand? Okay, the vast majority of us, Suzanne and I, we have 4 kids, Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph. And so we love family time. Man, we've been enjoying family time and playing games and trying to make the most of the summer. But the time that I'm talking about here is private time, time that you would spend with one child at a time. Why? Because children compete for parents' attention and interest and so on. And I don't know how it is in your home and how the social dynamics all pan out, but in our home, some kids are better at getting mom and dad's attention than others. Some kids are better at kind of vying for that attention or that time than others. And what we've noticed in our home is we have, I'm thinking of one of our girls who she will just cede her place to almost anybody else. And if I'm not careful, Susanna reads it much better than I do, but if I'm not careful, I can go more time than I should not spending time with that daughter because she doesn't demand it. She's very much a peacemaker, And if so-and-so needs my time, or so-and-so has a question, or so-and-so wants to do this, that, or the other, she will defer. Well, if I'm not careful, I can miss the opportunity to have strategic, intentional, purposeful time with her because she will just willingly give it to others. And so I've got to be careful to manage and to balance that, and you have to do the same. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I do believe that probably the best training oftentimes that we can give is in the singular form to a particular child. It's a one-on-one time where we can dig deep, we can be personal, and we can be intentional. We know that we're commanded from the Word of God to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I believe sometimes the best environment for that is a one-on-one time together. So look at your schedule, and some of you have two children, some of you have three, some four, some five, maybe some more, but look at your calendar, look at your schedule and say, okay, I want to spend individual time with every child every week. I want to invest my life in them, and I need to schedule that, and I need to make it private and quality time. My encouragement would be in the beginning, shoot for this to be about an hour in length, okay? If the children are younger, it might be shorter, all right? And that's okay. If the kids are older, there might be times that it takes longer than that. But I think on average, give or take, you want to shoot for about an hour. And you want this time to be alone. You want this opportunity for them to open their heart where there's no competition. There's no filtering maybe how they're feeling because of who else is listening and what that sibling might think, say, or do. There's none of that. But they have your undivided attention. They can communicate their heart with you alone. And then the memories that you're making, the inside jokes that you will have, the reflections that you will share of just the two of you together, not something the entire family enjoys. And again, family time is awesome. I'm an advocate of that. You know that. But in this lesson, we're talking about, in addition to that, individual time with each and every child. And you say, Gabe, this is going to take forever. An hour with each kid each week on top of family time, on top of reading God's Word, on top of prayer, on top of going to church, every time the doors are open, this is going to take a lot of time out of my schedule. I know. And it's worth it. Suzanne and I were at home last night. I mentioned about the car, but the couple that we were fellowshipping with, one boy is a senior in high school, and one is in the second year in college. And we were listening to the mom and dad, and you could tell that they were crossing that threshold of empty nesters and the memories and going to the backyard to play hoops and all of that was, it was, that sun was setting. And I got to thinking, you know, for us, this fall, Mariah's going to be in 10th grade. Lydia in 8th, Annalena in 6th, Joseph in 4th. And if I'm not careful, I can make the grave mistake of assuming I'll have all the time in the world. When in the reality is, time is very short. And if I refuse to make my family the priority that God would intend and to schedule and protect time with them, I think in a few very short years from now, I'll have a lot of regret. I'll have more time, but more time for what? What could be a greater accomplishment than your own flesh and blood living for God? How much money could you make to offset that? How many promotions? How many different job titles and transitions or whatever? I don't think anything compares to that. And I think you and I have to really stop and look at what phase of life am I in? We are in a phase of life. We are in a chapter. We are in a time where God has given us family, and it is a high priority on the docket of our life, and we want to make sure we are investing ourselves for such a time as this. And so we want this private time. We're going to have to schedule it. We're going to have to protect it. It's going to take time, but I'm telling you, you'll look back in years to come and say, man, it's one of the best things I ever did. It was a rewarding time. Thirdly, what about this time? Let's talk about the purpose of it. The purpose of this time is to make a connection. Now, Deuteronomy tells us that we're to take the truths that we've been given and we are to teach them diligently to our children. We're to talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And on, we are to take what we have been given, and we are to instill it in the hearts and minds of our children. As Solomon said in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And so we want this time to be a time of connection. Now, this is going to take skill, okay, as a father and a mother. It's going to be something you get better at with experience. It's never automatic. Sometimes I'll get a date with one of my daughters and I come back and it's like, that was awesome. Sometimes I get on a date and I come back and I was like, that was terrible. I don't know that we accomplished anything that I set out to do. It's not automatic. It's something we've always got to work at, and we're always focusing on what it is that the Lord wants us to accomplish. And we're always looking for a connection, okay? So the purpose of this tying together is a heart-to-heart connection. So how can we ensure that happens? Well, letter A, you want to enjoy activities they enjoy. On this time together, you want to go and do an activity that they enjoy. Now, fun, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder. I have done some things on dates with my kids that were not fun for me, but they were fun for them, all right? And it was great because they were having fun, and you want to make sure you're choosing an activity that they enjoy. Now, throughout life, in different life stages, there'll be activities that you both enjoy, and those are obviously the best, but you want to make sure in living in deference that this is something that they truly enjoy, because when they enjoy it, their heart's all in. When they're doing something they don't enjoy but you enjoy and they're tolerating it for you, they're not all into it, and you're not going to get out of it what you should. And so make sure it's an activity that they can enjoy. And talk about it during the week. What are we going to do when we get together? And what would you enjoy? And make it something you anticipate and look forward to. But when they get to choose and do it, make sure that you go along with an activity they enjoy. Some of the things I've told my kids is, listen, I'll do anything you want to do, but if you pick something I also enjoy doing, we'll do it longer. And if especially when my girls were young, my soul, the things I did, I'm ashamed to even mention from the pulpit. But dolls and all this kind of a thing, and having fun and so on, and getting into it and playing it and having a great time. And I'll do whatever they want to do. But if they pick something I would also enjoy, then we'll do it together for a little bit longer. So make sure it's an activity they enjoy. Letter B, make sure it has a lack of distractions. A lack of distractions. Now, we have modern technology, in our hands, on our cell phone, the ability to connect with so many people in so many different ways and so on. But in a moment like this, that phone is really your frenemy. What it is yes, it's an opportunity to do more. Hey, we want to go here. Well, let's look it up, or whatever the case may be. But it is also potential to destroy the relationship you have right in front of you. And I just want to challenge all of you, and this applies to your time with God, your time with your spouse, your time with your children. Be where you are. Limit distractions. Sometimes we are so connected to people so far away, and we are so disconnected to the people right in front of us. Sometimes we tell people so close that we can touch to hold on so that we can communicate, talk to, connect with somebody way far away. And you may have patient family members, and I know that I do because I've abused it more than I should. But that's going to run its course. And it's going to come back to bite you in a big way. And so you want to make sure that in this time that you're scheduling together, it is distraction free, that you are intentionally focusing on the people that God has given to you that are right there in front of you. Have you ever thought about the fact that for 6,000 years, humanity made friends, found husbands and wives, raised families, and served God without the benefit of the internet or any instant communication at all? I mean, we live today like, my battery's almost dead, life is about to be over, I mean, who has a portable charger? Who has the cord? I mean, I can't get out of this room without this phone, knowing it's going to work, you know. And we just, you know, if we lose a phone, you know, what's $1,000? I got to have one right now, right? And we've become rather dependent on technology. And again, it has its blessings, but it has its downfalls. It has its pits for sure. And you've got to be careful in this time to limit distractions. No doubt technology is a part of it. You know what another major distraction is when it comes to relational nurturing? Work. Work. Susanna used to tease me because a lot of our dates when our children were younger were lunch dates. And she would say, Gabe, I'm thankful you're prioritizing a relationship and I'm thankful we're having this time together each week, but I don't really have you. We're here, we're having lunch together, you're physically here, but your mind is someplace else. Sometimes I would struggle. I would physically be someplace, but mentally I was three worlds away dealing with whatever was happening that morning or whatever was going on in the work life. And sometimes we have to really work at, okay, I've got to disengage from all of that, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally as well, and invest in the relationship that God has given to me. Recognize this. Time together, date time, whatever it is for you and your spouse and your children, it is not a ritual to endure. It is a privilege to enjoy. Okay, so make sure it's limited from distraction. Letter C, then make sure they have delighted dad or delighted mom. Your children can tell when you want to be there and when you don't want to be there. Your spouse can tell whether or not you want to be on that date with them. It's like the dad who took his child out for some time together. They left the house. They went through the drive-thru. They got an ice cream cone on a coupon they got last week. They got home and the date was over in 6 minutes. Now, it's going to be hard to communicate to that child how much you love them and want to spend time with them when you don't spend anything or do anything. No, I'm not saying you've got to spend a lot of money, but I am saying that you've got to be all in, desiring for this time together and investing yourself into it. Children can tell when you want to be there and when you just don't care. And a wise parent sees the grains of sand slipping through their fingers, recognizing, I don't have forever. Time is limited. And we want to take advantage of every moment that God has given to us. Every day, every week, all of these connections are important. They're vital. They're of high value. And I must prioritize and protect them. Today is one of the few precious left, and I've got to redeem the time. Too many fathers wait to give their grandchildren what they should have given their children. Many of us in this room are in a place in life where we can prevent that mistake. So let's do so. Let's make sure that this time is happening, that real connections are being made, and that we are strategically investing our life into it. And then letter D, how's this going to be a connection time? By asking skillful questions and engaging in in-depth conversations. Now, this is huge. You don't necessarily have to have incessant chatter. I took a particular daughter with me on the way to church this morning. It's my practice to take one kid a week with me early and get some time with them. And I'm telling you, I don't think I said a word, and I don't think she stopped. I mean, it was kind of one of those things. We got all the way to the church, and she just had been talking, and I got out of the car, and I closed my door, and I walked around the car to get her door, and she hadn't stopped. So wherever I heard last till the next thing I heard, I had to kind of piece it together, you know. But she was just going, man. She was excited about that story and what it was that she was telling me about. And so, but it doesn't have to be that all the time. And with every child, it's different. But when there is a tomb-like silence with your spouse or your children, that's awkward as well. It communicates a lack of connection. And so we've got to be skillful at asking the right questions and digging in to the right conversations. The Bible says in Proverbs, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we talked about last week, don't ask questions they can answer with yes or no. Try to ask questions that dig deeper to a heart level. In fact, in your handout this morning, you have a list of questions. And these are questions you could ask a child as you're spending time one-on-one together. We're not going to go over those now, but you can read those later this afternoon. Then number four, what about this time together? Well, it should be protected schedule that should happen. It should be something that both enjoy and where a heart connection is being made. It's for the purpose of that. It should be something that you're valuing and you're protecting and it's happening. But also, number four, it should include payments that you can afford. Okay? Don't get nervous with, man, if I spend time with every child alone every week and then date my wife and this and that, man, I'm going to be broke. I'm going to need a second job just to afford it. No, you can pick stuff with payments that you can afford. I remember when I started this with our children and they were younger, many, many, many dates cost a dollar or less. Hey, let's go to Wendy's and get a Frosty. Value menu were made for what we're talking about right here, all right? This is why they were invented, all right? And sit down and have a Frosty. If you wanted to splurge, you got two Frosties and one fry. If you've never done it, man, I'm telling you, it changed your life. You take a French fry, you dip it in a Frosty, and you eat that thing. Woo! Man, that's pretty good. I'm telling you. Wendy's is going to be packed this afternoon, man. That was like a high-end date right there. Two Frosties and one fry. But I can make anything a date, you know. Go to a particular store where everything happened to cost a dollar. Sweetheart, you can get anything in here you want. Wow, you know, this is great. Yeah, anything you want, go for it, you know. And we'd bring home stuff that was broken or whatever. But anyway, payments you can afford. There's so many things you can do to spend time together. It doesn't cost any money. You can be frugal, you can be careful, you can plan ahead. The idea is, don't let this be a weight on your shoulder like, well, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, I don't have any money, therefore I won't do anything. You know what that is? That's the paralysis of analysis. You know what I'm telling you this morning? Figure it out and go do it. So, in the handout, some questions you could ask. There's something to talk about. In the handout, some ideas of dates. And you could come up with a list 10 times that long. So just start talking. Get some ideas of times together. Get some ideas of things to talk about. Get some ideas of activities that you would enjoy and go do them. But schedule some time together with every child every week and invest in their life. Now, some parents have swallowed the lie that as children enter into their teen years, that they often would rather spend time with friends than parents. And this is true when spending time with parents is awkward or is only more work and no fun. But when a relationship has been properly nurtured, that time together grows in its sweetness and in its enjoyment. So let me encourage all of us to prioritize time together. Now, do not use time together as a reward for good behavior. And don't withhold time together because of inappropriate or bad behavior. That's like saying to a child who's not behaving at home, well, then you're not going to go to church. Well, why exactly would you do that? Did it hurt you to be closer to God when you weren't doing well? It's interesting sometimes what we cut out of somebody's life. How about unplug the TV? That went over really well. You're meddling, Gabe. Move on. It's July. You know, when I grew up in my dad's church, you know what they did in July? They called it No Junk in July. And families would sign up in the back, and they would unplug all of their TVs. Kids hated it. Parents probably hated it too. I don't know. But everybody would do No Junk in July. They would do no TV in the month of July. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm saying this. Be careful and using this time as, well, you did good, so you get it. And, oh, you didn't do well, you don't get it. No. It's not a reward or a punishment. It's just part of the responsibility of parenting. Time alone each week with every child is not a reward. It's part of you investing your life in them. I date my wife because I love her. And I want to spend time with my children because I love them and want to invest in them. Cultivating that connection boosters everything else up around it anyway. And so be very, very careful with not using it as an incentive or a discipline. Just make it a part of your regular family schedule and make it happen. Now, by the way, if your child is struggling with their behavior, that date's going to look a little different. It's going to be one-on-one time together. And no doubt some of that's going to come to the surface because it needs to be. And when things are going well and their behavior is as it should be, then it's just going to be a time of rejoicing and fun. And as life has ebbs and flows, so that time together will have ebbs and flows as well. But what I'm saying is it should be constant. So what are we learning about today under the umbrella of heart connections? Time together. How do we have it? Schedule it. Make it happen. Put it on the calendar, and if it gets erased, make sure it gets replaced. Prioritize it, one child at a time. Make it purposeful. It's for a connection. So do something you enjoy, limit the distractions, and dive in getting to know them. And then make sure, fourthly, that it is something you can afford. Don't put the pressure on yourself of, well, we got to go to Disneyland, and I've got to ask all this stuff I don't know how to ask, and I don't know what to do, and so we just won't do it at all. Listen, it would be better to go into your backyard and to get a baseball and to throw it around for a little while and just talk about the weather than it would be to do nothing. And you just start wherever you can start and take baby steps. But don't be under this pressure that it has to be all this and that. And don't make it a reward or a discipline. Make it a regular part of your family life. You know what will help enhance the families of his design class? Spending time on the things that God values. For everyone that's in this room, time with the Lord. This week, make that a priority. Time with your spouse, make it a priority. Time with your children, make it a priority. These are God's gift to you. Take advantage of that and make it a priority. And God will bless the faith and obedience of that. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for some time together this morning around your word to learn and to grow. And I pray that you'd help our class to really recognize, wow, look at God's goodness to us, the gifts that he has bestowed to us. We are so blessed. And then help us to steward those to the best of our ability with love. And today, specifically with time, may we schedule, value, protect, and execute time together every week. Lord, I pray that you bless the families and our class richly and the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.